You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
I'd like to talk about some of the hidden gems in London. And with the hidden gems comes a lot of hidden stories. I was at an appointment one day down in Essex Road on Northampton Street, and whilst I was waiting for transport that was very late, I was directed to take a walk to the top of Northampton Street. And when I did, I discovered what was an amazing, beautiful garden. It was just breathtaking. As you walked in, it was almost like a scene from the drama, The Secret Garden, where once the gate was opened, it just flourished into a thing of beauty. So I went into this garden, and it was a walkway, and there's a tiny little bank with some stones, and it was very close, this little stream that went from one end to the other, and it was about a 5-minute walk if you take your time and take in everything that's going on around. There's loads of trees, there's a big wall, and beyond that big wall are some huge Victorian houses that back up onto this little stream. And as I walked back, I saw this huge well which had been blocked off. It was just beautiful. So I found myself a little seat on the park bench, and I just whiled the time away until my taxi driver came. And I went into the taxi, and this taxi driver was full of knowledge, surprisingly. He told me that the well that was situated in there was part of the New River. The New River, which was originally an aqueduct that used to supply water to all of Hertfordshire. And I found this really interesting, so I've done a little bit of digging, and I've got somebody along from the Camden Tour Guides, Dave, and he's going to speak a little bit about this.
Hi, I'm Dave Brown. I'm a Camden Tour Guide, and among other things, I'm also fascinated by the hidden and secret places in London, including the rivers. I'm particularly interested in rivers.
Can you tell me exactly what is the New River?
Well, the New River is a wonderful name, and of course it's not new, and it's not a river. It dates back to 1613, and it was a way of bringing water into London to drink. We think about water nowadays as being available through the tap, but in those days, water was in short supply, and most of the water came out of the River Thames. And the River Thames was probably as mucky as it is today, so it wasn't the best place for getting drinking water. And a bunch of entrepreneurs, in fact, a chap called Edmund Colthurst, came up with the idea of taking water from Ware, which is near up in Hertfordshire, and carrying it through a man-made canal all the way down to London. And he started work on this, and he ran out of money. And he ran out of money in the early 1600s. And there was an entrepreneur, somebody I like to think of as a Richard Branson character, a wheeler dealer. And he saw an opportunity, and his name was Hugh Middleton. He was a goldsmith by trade. And Hugh Middleton actually took over the canal, and of course, this was a really long way. They took water along the 100-foot contour line, and it's a total distance of 40 miles. So that's a long way. And all this had to be hand-dug, so he employed hundreds of men, and they worked for many years. And he ran out of money as well. And he had to bring in King James I of England, and King James I actually agreed to put up half the money for it. And that enabled it to be completed. But in return, he would take half the profits. It was very much a profit-making operation. And so the water arrived. It arrived at a place called New Riverhead, which is next door to Sadler's Wells in London.
Right.
And it came into a big pond. And it first was opened in 1613. They had a grand party there. And the water was distributed into the city of London and to the West End. And it was distributed using wooden pipes. And these wooden pipes were not buried underground. They were on top of the ground. And what they did was they took basically trees, and they would drill out the centre of the trees, and then they would plug one tree into another tree, like a sharpening one end, a bit like a pencil would be sharpened, stick it in the other end of the second piece of wood, and then they would pour lead around to seal it. So you could imagine a whole row of these trees going all the way from Sadler's Wells right down to the City of London.
So, Dave, you've spoken a lot about the drinking water in London, but who had real access to the...
Well, it really depended upon how well off you were. If you were very well off, you could afford a direct connection to the pipe. And they used to produce a little lead quill, they called it, very small pipe. They'd hammer into the wooden pipe, and that would provide you with a little bit of water. So if you were rich, that's how you did it. But most people would have actually had to use the public conduits. These were kind of big square troughs full of water, and you would go and use those. Or, if you were in between, you could actually use, if you weren't very rich, but you had some money, you could pay water carriers to bring the water to you. And there were lots of water carriers in London. But when you say drinking, now actually very few people actually drank the water directly. That's because water was generally considered to be something that could give you diseases and illnesses. So what people tended to do was drink beer.
Oh.
That tended, and everyone, even children, would drink beer. It would be what's called small beer, so it wouldn't be very alcoholic. But by brewing it, you would actually try and remove any of the impurities and so on. So a lot of this water would have been used for home brewing, or it would have been used for other purposes, for washing things or for cleaning things.
I'd like to ask you, actually, how the effect of privatisation affected the things like the Great Fire of London and the plague.
Yeah, well, because they're private companies, of course, they only supplied the areas that they thought were profitable. And during the Great Fire of London, at that stage, there were actually two water companies supplying the City of London. The New River Company supplied the north part of the city, north of Cheapside, but the areas south of Cheapside were all run by the London Bridge River Water Company. And they used to extract water from underneath London Bridge. They had pumping stations on underneath the arches of the bridge. And so during the Great Fire, of course, the bit that burnt down first was the bit nearest the river. And very quickly, the bridge caught fire. So they lost the waterworks, which was providing water to the whole of the southern part nearest the river. So, in fact, the Great Fire of London would probably have been not as bad as it turned out to be, destroying something like 80% of the City of London. But if they had the New River Company in the areas nearest the river, they may well have saved a lot more of London. So that's because the New River Company, you know, was there, could provide water throughout the fire, but it was too far away to provide water in the early days.
So privatisation has a lot to answer for.
Well,
London going up in flames.
That was the way things were. I mean, the concept of public ownership of water was really, 1900 onwards.
Well, Dave, I really appreciate you coming in today, and thank you so much for the hidden stories that you've given us about the waterways in London.
It's a fascinating story, it really is.
I started this story just stumbling across a hidden waterway in London, right in the heart of the suburbs of London. With our bodies being 75% water, what other hidden stories can we reveal about this amazing source of human nature?
You're listening to a download from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.